Protests have always played a role in democratic politics. From the civil rights movement to the anti-war rallies of the 60s and noughties, mass demonstrations of opinion have influenced national and international conversations around major issues. Yet something appears to be changing. Time magazine awarded the protester its Person of the Year award in 2011, following the advent of the Arab Spring, and more recently, demonstrations in emerging powers such as Brazil, Indonesia and Turkey prompted The Economist to reflect on what it called the march of the protest, concluding that democracy is struggling and politicians, in their words, should beware. So I sat down to talk with Alina Rocha-Manocol of ODI's Politics and Governance programme to talk through some of the issues facing modern democracy. Alina recently produced an infographic documenting 10 things that you should know about elections in an effort to start a conversation about the way we view the relationship between elections and democracy. It's her view that things have definitely changed.
I think what we're witnessing is that there has been an enormous transformation in the nature of political regimes from the 1980s, starting in Latin America. And this wave has swept across the developing world and has finally reached the Arab world. And today, as the infographics we have prepared show, most countries are considered formal democracies. But we're also witnessing a crisis in terms of the capacity of democracies to become more firmly rooted in societies and to be able to provide representative functions that people are after. So we can say that there is a crisis in the making, and it's really a crisis of representation and accountability.
Although she's quick to add that's not a one-size-fits-all analysis.
But I think it's important to keep in mind that we're witnessing different processes at work in different places. So the crises that we're experiencing are qualitatively different. So, for example, if you look at the case of Egypt, we're witnessing democracy in the making. These are the birth pangs of a democratic process. And not surprisingly, it is proving to be quite contentious and conflictive. In places like Brazil and Turkey, on the other hand, I think what is happening is that we're witnessing a struggle to deepen the quality of the democratic process in those countries. There has been a growing and assertive middle class that it wants to make greater claims on their political leaders and is feeling quite underrepresented and unhappy about the fact that they only can express themselves through the ballot box every 4 or 5 years or so. And all of these raises fundamental questions about the role of elections. Either because, as I was saying, rulers can use them to legitimize grabs on power, and elections being used just by the fact that they take place as a sign of a healthy democracy, whether or not they actually end up playing that role. Also, as we're seeing in the cases of Brazil and Turkey in particular, the fact that they do not provide sufficient space for ongoing engagement between frustrated citizens and their leaders.
Although if elections are not a perfect indicator of a healthy democracy, she argues that the actions of elected leaders can reveal signs of an unhealthy one.
I think a key problem that we're witnessing, both in cases like Egypt, where democracy is just being established, and in places where democracy needs to be deepened, is that often rulers are not playing by the democratic rules of the game. Democracy is about institutionalized uncertainty, by which I mean that outcomes should a priori not be known. But what you should know is that all of these democratic contests will play out within the pre-established rules of the democratic game. And what has happened, for example, in Egypt, and we have seen in places like Venezuela and Russia, is that leaders use the ballot box to claim that they have the legitimacy to then go ahead and change the rules of the democratic game. And that's a real problem.
So if elections are not sufficient, what else should we be focusing on?
I think it is essential to highlight that elections are an absolutely indispensable ingredient of any democratic system, and you cannot have a democratic system without elections. That's unquestionable. However, I also think it is extremely important to keep in mind that elections as such are an instrument of democracy, but also a limited one. And the current fixation that is being placed on elections really risks placing extraordinarily high expectations on what they can achieve in terms of transformation of the systems where they take place. And this really creates a blind spot among democracies everywhere. In a way, elections are perhaps the most easily identifiable sign of vertical accountability. But as such, they also are quite blunt instruments, and they do not really go beyond an ability to choose a leader. They do not provide really the kinds of spaces that are necessary for deliberation, which is an essential component of democracy as well, which is where citizens and states come together to resolve collective action problems. So the electoral process helps obviously elect those rulers, but it doesn't provide a space for deliberation, which I think is what we're witnessing in terms of this crisis of representation that I'm talking about. So the role of political organization is absolutely essential. And I think here it's really important to stress that democratic systems open up a critical opportunity for such engagement, but only if we're willing to look at democracy beyond the ballot box. And if you see, for example, the struggles for increased political voice that are happening everywhere in the world, and I'm talking here about places like the United States and the UK with Occupy Wall Street and Occupy the City, places like Brazil and Turkey, Egypt, Russia, all of these places are examples of the limitations that are posed by just defining democracy as sheerly an electoral exercise. And I think here what will determine the health and the resilience of a democratic system is how the political leadership responds to this increased demand for voice and representation in the political system much more frequently than just with a ballot box.
It's not hard to find some practical examples to illustrate the sort of fixation with elections that Alina refers to. The importance placed on establishing the electoral process in Iraq and Afghanistan attests to the critical role such citizen engagement is held to possess. But is the international focus on elections as a primary indicator of a functioning democracy misplaced?
I think what happens now in post-conflict settings is that there is a very perceived and quite real need to imbue the newly emerging states with some kind of legitimacy. And very often, elections are seen as a primordial way of doing this. However, I think it's really important to keep in mind that the exercise of building a more effective state is a separate one from building a democratic system via election and other institutional mechanisms. And state building, democracy support, or democracy building may, at the end of the day, go hand in hand together. But in the making, the pressures that each of these processes pose may actually pull in different directions and pose quite difficult challenges and dilemmas and trade-offs that need to be really acknowledged by the international community and also by domestic players. The case of Iraq, Afghanistan, and even Libya show this. Where you do not have a coherent state to hold the whole apparatus together, the kinds of incentives that are generated by the electoral competition process can actually do a lot of harm in terms of fragmenting the political landscape even further and giving coherence to a state. So I think it's really important to keep in mind that both of these are extraordinarily important goals, but they're not one and the same.